This is how we're celebrating our birthday today, a little afternoon delight.
Well, Sportslet 101 is an afternoon delight.
It is. It is an afternoon delight for us. And because Bruce knows everybody in the world, everyone on the planet is, there's 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon, but only 5 from Bruce, who knows Bill Danoff, who wrote the song.
Well, I don't know him, but we did have the same agent.
Oh, I thought you...
No, we had the same agent.
And he's eating a lot of taffy, but that's...
if you ask who wrote that song, 9 times out of 10 people don't get it. And know that he wrote Take Me Home.
Bill and Taffy Danoff. Yes, absolutely. And wasn't that fun talking hockey, man? That was great.
That was great. You know, and, you know, I teach hockey lit, and those, the 87 and 72 were just huge parts of the Canadian psyche and fabric and national identity and the like. And he really, I think he's so right about 87. Those 3 games are 3 of the greatest sporting events of all time.
And, you know, the internet, a lot of it stinks, but one of the great things about the internet is the ability to go on YouTube and watch those 87 games. Oh, and everything's up there. Everything can be found on the internet. And it was a blast watching some of those games. But this time around at Sportslet 101, instead, we're going to talk a little high school sports from the early days.
Yeah, we've talked about rise of muscular Christianity, the post-Civil War, you know, obsession with health and fitness and all that. And I knew, in part because I had gone to boarding school, that the boarding schools of New England were the places where high school sports really developed. And they developed from field days. Each school would have a field day. And then one day St. Paul's decided to invite Exeter up to do it at the same time. And really, high school sports, as we know them now in public and private schools, began in the more elite private schools in the East, which is why early on they included sports like tennis and golf, which came to the public schools much later because they were essentially country club sports. They were for the well-to-do. What I did not know, and this is fascinating, this book is called The Rise of American High School Sports and the Search for Control, 1880 to 1930 by Robert Pruder, was that almost all the original sports teams were student-run, student-managed, student officiated. They took the money at the gate, they arranged the schedules, and for a long time this was working out just fine, except then people started playing for teams that actually didn't go to the high school and there were 25-year-old ringers playing for teams. And so a lot of schools said, well, we don't really want to run the sports, but we're going to assign a faculty member to see that everything is on the up and up. And that began a process in the 1880s primarily that by 1930 had ended the original format for high school sports. The other thing I did not know, I was astonished to find this out, is that, you know, we hear all the time that people think, well, these big-time colleges spend too much time traveling, they go too far. There were high school championships in sports like football and baseball and basketball where teams came from all across the country to Chicago, where football teams in the Midwest played teams in Texas, California, Massachusetts. And as of course, the sports grew and they became more popular, then schools started to form leagues. And once leagues were formed, then they had to have rules. And then little by little, what happened was the same way in which big-time college sports have gotten out of control in some places, big-time high school sports had done the same thing. High schools were playing in front of 35,000 people. They were building a high school in Chicago. Oak Park built a $750,000 field house in 1920.
Wow.
And they had 2 pools and 4 courts. So what began? 2 things began to happen to change high school sports. One was the schools wanted control. Wasn't necessarily a bad idea, but as we know, sometimes adults can really muck up kids' games. But the second thing was a physical education became part of the norm in colleges. And colleges sponsored most of the high school championships. And colleges provided places for the high schools to play. And what happened was there was a fight, and we've mentioned this in so many books we've talked about before, Bloomer Girls and Dust Bowl Girls and Collision and some of the other books we've talked about. The people wanting to take control wanted to do 2 things. They wanted to control the boys, and they wanted to eliminate girls from playing competitive sports. The people who wanted to eliminate girls from playing competitive sports were not men. they were almost always led by groups of women who felt that they shouldn't play. And one of those really important groups of women were PE teachers, because the female PE teachers had never played games. They didn't know how to coach. They didn't know the rules. They wanted girls to do gymnastics and exercise. Now, in parts of the country, and this was fascinating to me, Chicago being one of them, wherever a lot of Germans or Czechs settled, they had brought with them this whole theory of what gymnastics, we really think calisthenics were, and what and how they were good for you. And they thought that was great for girls. The only thing they thought girls should do is have, quote, and I'm making this up, America, play dates, where the girls would get together and they would choose sides and they'd play a game against one another. It might be tennis. It might be golf. It might be indoor baseball, which was really closer to softball. And so there was this dead zone time that starts after 1930 when people get in charge.
And the book is called?
The Rise of American High School Sports and the Search for Control, 1880 to 1930 by Robert Pruder. It's really a fascinating study. It's a little academic. I don't want to mislead anyone, but you will be amazed at what you will find out. And the last 40 or 50 pages are quite riveting.
Outstanding. Thank you, Bruce, as always.